This is HPC Wire Soundbite, your weekly source of commentary and insight on the HPC stories shaping the industry. With Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. And now, here are your hosts, Michael Feldman and Addison Snell.
You go first, Michael.
No, you go first.
No, okay, I'll go first. Intel and AMD put their chips on the table.
And AMD went first. Hello, everyone, and good morning for HPC Wire Soundbite for April 2nd, 2010. Available every Friday on iTunes. I'm Michael Feldman, editor of HPC Wire, and I'm joined by Addison Snell, CEO of Intersect 360 Research. Good morning, Addison.
Hey, good morning, Michael.
Well, a few weeks ago, we were just talking about Intel's new 6-core Westmere processors for dual socket servers. This week, even more news. On Monday, AMD fired back with its new 12-core MagnaCore CPU announcement. And then a day later, Intel countered with the new Nehalem EX launch.
Bang, bang.
Bang, bang. So if you're a CPU server aficionado, it's an exciting time. So, Addison, what do you think about the timing of these announcements?
Well, I think it's completely intentional, especially on AMD's part. It's, AMD must want to get in on Intel's news cycle. It's a common underdog strategy, with Intel's launch being on a Tuesday, which is a traditional good launch day in the marketing world. It seems like they pick their day, and then AMD is deciding, do we want to go right before, right after, if before, how much before, and choosing the immediate day before just feels like they want to get their news out so they're part of the Intel news cycle. It's probably very intelligently done by AMD's marketing and PR people. But that gives us a chance to evaluate both of the launches simultaneously. I think more important than the timing of the launch is to think about who wins and who loses coming out of this. Michael, you were obviously looking at both of these launches. What impressed you on each side and who's coming out ahead?
Yeah, I think, looking at both, it's kind of hard to digest them all because it just came kind of bang, bang at us. So I think there are different strategies here, though. And I think they've sort of diverged a little bit, which is good because, AMD, I think, needed to do that. So Intel, obviously with Nehalem EX, is going after a higher end market. They're going after the high end SMP market. In HPC and the enterprise in general, in the two socket space with Westmere, and then some of the cut down, even the Nehalem EX offerings, they're sort of going for more price performance and clock speed. Well, especially with the Westmere chips, it's clock speed. It's very fast chips, very fast clock speeds, fast cores. AMD's story is all about price performance, which is a good story for HPC. I mean, they've got these things priced at a pretty good discount when you stack them up against what AMD is, what Intel is offering, sort of in the same performance range. But they're only going for the 2P and 4P space here with MagniCore. So they're not going after 8P anymore and above. So they've ceded that to Intel. And of course, everybody's talking about energy efficiency. So that's sort of hard to evaluate. I think they both have made some progress there. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out, but I think AMD's sort of taking this middle approach and sort of trying to get this sweet spot in the market, these two-socket and four-socket servers with good pricing, with actually very aggressive pricing at this point, compared to at least the initial pricing that Intel is offering on comparable chips. I mean, AMD, of course, has 12 cores on their top-end Magni cores, and basically Intel has 6 cores on the Westmere and then the 8 cores on the EX. And so there's sort of a core advantage that AMD comes off with, so they can sort of afford to have slightly slower clocks and then match them on performance, and then they can just beat them on price. That's probably a good strategy.
Well, it is interesting to, see that despite the fact that they're right on top of each other, they are two different approaches. And I tend to agree that, that it's going to come down to what type of code that you've got. The AMD with more cores is going to appeal to people whose codes are well optimized or optimizable to take advantage of multiple cores. And I think that's going to be the real nut of it, because even at AMD's customer launch event, their webcast that they hosted on Monday morning, when I was there, I was asking questions about how easy that was to do. And it's not easy for everybody. Intel is going to skew more toward these fatter nodes, and for codes that are harder to introduce that as multiple levels of parallelism, a lot of people might see better performance there. So, you know, we know that there's a lack of customer loyalty with regards to processor vendors, and that people will just go wherever the best price performance is. Where that best price performance is going to depend on the type of workload available, don't you think?
Yeah, without a doubt. And yeah, from application to application, this is going to vary. I think AMD, in sort of picking this middle strategy, it did sort of hit all the right buttons here. I mean, they upped their memory subsystem, so, you know, better bandwidth and capacity on this sort of these 2P and 4P platforms. But yeah, scaling to 8 and 12 cores is always going to be a problem, and you're going to have the right application set and software stack to take advantage of that. That's without a doubt. So it is new territory for both vendors.
Yeah.
Getting up into these, you know, 6, 8, 12 core counts. So, I mean, the jury really is still out and how people are actually going to adopt these and use these. But I think it will hold that basically Intel's trying to split the middle there. Intel's kind of going after that fat node space that AMD sort of retracted from.
Well,
and that's an interesting.
We saw this coming, Michael. I wrote a blog about this in 2008 that this problem was coming, and you're saying how people are adopting it. The trend has continued that what people are doing with multi-core so far is just staying constant on the amount of memory per core. So if I put in twice as many cores, I double the amount of memory in the system, which, you know, works in the near term, but starts getting prohibitively expensive in terms of memory, let alone what you might pay in software licenses. I used this metaphor of Wile E. Coyote having chased the Roadrunner off a cliff, but he hasn't fallen yet because he hasn't looked down yet. And it's the cartoon physics of multi-core that's kept application performance from falling so far. And what's holding it up is the additional memory in the near term.
Right, and I think that's sort of going to be one of the big stories for the Nehalem EX, even though, you know, we're talking about 8 cores and SMPs and sort of, you know, large processor nodes. It's sort of the extra memory capability of those systems,
right,
too. They have, you know, there's a lot more DIMM slots that are supported, more bandwidth.
Well, AMD is in their bandwidth game, too, with the hyper-transport.
Yeah.
The thing is, they're both compelling enough that the HPC system vendors are compelled to be supporting both, and that's been a big part of the news cycle this week also, is what systems are running each.
Right. We saw, you know, a lot of OEM announcements on both sides. AMD came out. I mean, you know, we can go down the list. Dell, HP, you know, Apro, Colfax, SGI, Penguin, of course, Cray, and there was a new entrance there, Acer, under the Gateway brand. They're going to actually be putting out Opteron-based HPC nodes, which is kind of interesting. And then on the Intel side, there were the usual suspects, of course, you know, IBM, HP, Cisco, Dell. It wasn't quite an exact matchup between the two, but there was a lot of OEMs that jumped onto both of these announcements, and they were going to have a lot of competition now in these systems.
But I think if there's anything that stands out, it's what you were discussing about the SMP capabilities of the Nehalem EXs, and we did see some interesting SMP platforms.
Right. In the HPC space, of course, we knew about some of these. I mean, SGI had Ultraviolet, which they previewed last year at the Supercomputing Conference. This week, they sort of re-announced those, and then they came up with sort of the mini Ultraviolet. They call it the UV10, which is sort of the baby UV from the UV100 and 1000 series. It's just a four-socket Nehalem EX box. sort of an entry-level thing. And then Cray came out, and they talked about this last week. They got the CX-1000 platform that they talked about in the different iterations, but they couldn't talk about the Nehalem EX version yet, which they were able to talk about this week. And as it turned out, that platform is actually a bull engineered piece of hardware that Bull actually is going to release under their own brand, and then Cray is going to take it under their brand. So it's the
that's right. Cray is essentially OEMing the Bull box as the CX-1000, which I think is a fine choice for Cray. It's a good box, and they're not going to compete against each other in most of their sales. So I think that's a fine choice.
Right, and it's exactly the same hardware. They're just going to put their own software stack and of course customer support and on top of that. But it's right. Goes up to 16 sockets, 128 cores. It's for obviously somewhat smaller SMP systems, but lots of memory. And you know, these are starting at under 100,000, so might be very attractive to people looking for fat nodes, especially to go along with larger cluster systems as a service node or for just bite-sized SMP applications.
Well, and we've discussed SMPs on this podcast in recent months. It was one of the topics I covered in my HPCC keynote presentation in Newport a couple weeks ago. We're really seeing a lot of people who are looking at where are the applications that really perform better on these more tightly coupled architectures in the different verticals. Now, it comes down to workload. It's really hard to say. It's really hard to say that this vertical market has SMP codes and this one doesn't. It depends on the workload and how tightly coupled the application is, but we are seeing an increased emphasis on both physical SMPs like the ones we're talking about here and virtual SMPs like we've been talking about with ScaleMP and 3Leaf, those companies. These are going to play a role in the next few years.
Right. I think, like you said, we're seeing it across application domains. I mean, we see it in CAE and life science simulations and seismic analysis. I mean, anything that needs basically sort of a large memory footprint and doesn't really benefit necessarily from, a distributed MPI type model. So it actually, for HPC, it spreads across basically all the verticals, and outside of HPC, of course, there's all the business intelligence and ERP and all these acronyms that we don't have to deal with. But there's a big play there too, obviously, database, all the database warehousing stuff. The interesting thing, I think this will basically, in general, sort of push out or at least cut into some of the RISC CPUs that are out in the general enterprise space. And in fact, Intel's own Itanium, which I think this is going to continue to sort of push out of that space, because Nehalem EX adds a lot of the same capabilities that these sort of higher end CPUs had. So it's kind of going to shake things up in sort of the SMP market over the next couple of years, right. I think.
Well, so as you recap these launches, Michael, you covered both. You've done an excellent job in HPC Wire. You've got a Nehalem EX feature story up right now. Do you have a winner and loser out of this week, or is it too close to call?
I think they're both going to be winners. I think they've sort of staked out sort of different areas. I mean, they'll both say, we've got the market covered, but I think Intel is obviously going to has staked out the high end of the market, and then AMD said, well, we're not going to go above 4P for the time being. I mean, if Intel makes a big market out of that, AMD will jump in, and they'll jump in with a price performance story. But for now, they're going to give that to Intel. And then AMD's has a good price performance story in these 2P and 4P servers, and especially the 4P. They eliminate the 4P tax, and so we might see more 4P installations out there. So I think they both have good stories. And the other side of Intel's story is they've got the faster clocks, so single-threaded performance where you can't take advantage of the better memory subsystem, you can still have the faster clocks. So I think users will pick and choose depending upon what they need. Overall, I think AMD is going to gain from this. They're going to probably gain some market share, at least in our the space we cover in HPC. but you know, there's no knockout punch here.
Right. Well, you know, there's two ways to look at it. Is, you know, if you say that the launches were both good and therefore it's kind of a tie, one line of thinking is that the tie favors the underdog or the one with less market share, because as they both regress to the mean, that means AMD would be gaining share on Intel as both lines approach 50%. The other way to look at it is that it's a tie and therefore people maintain their installed bases with a few exceptions, and Intel stays in the lead. It's a little early to say exactly what the market dynamic is going to be. I tend to think that people are going to stay where they are unless they see a compelling reason to move, and it's incumbent on AMD to produce that. We'll see how good a job they've done. When we get to ISC, that'll probably be our first really good look at a broad swath of users in a particular segment, and we'll see which one they're more excited about.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right at ISC, we'll see. You know, people have had time to react to this, and especially the vendors will have had some shipments out there. So it will be interesting to follow the rest of the year. And I think you're right on target. AMD has got to sell this now because they are the underdog. They have to get their mojo back here. So.
You know, you made one other comment, Michael, when we were talking about it before, which is the move that Nehalem makes on Itanium here.
Right. You know, we've seen sort of a strange strategy with Itanium. I mean, they're sort of been pushed out by the x86 offerings from below, just not Intel's, but AMD's as well, since the differential between sort of those two CPUs gets smaller and smaller. And, of course, with Nehalem EX, you know, the differential is now quite small. I mean, yep. Intel added all these RAS features into it. I mean, the writing is on the wall. I mean, Intel is going to migrate everybody off of these the Itaniums and into the x86 space.
I think you were calling it the beginning of the end for Itanium. I don't know that it's the beginning of the end for Itanium. I think Opteron was the beginning of the end for Itanium, but
yeah,
x86
yeah.
in general. But this might move it one step closer to the final end
yeah.
game.
Yeah, this is probably the middle of the end, and then
the end of the end is coming.
Yeah, I mean, there's still quite an installed base out there, but yeah, I mean, all the server vendors are going out there, and they can see the writing on the wall here. I mean, I think it was significant that when the Itanium Tukwila launch several weeks ago, you know, SGI, for example, did not announce, you know, a follow-on platform for that, although they've talked about it. I think
they're still getting asked about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think if a customer came in and said, we really need this, we're going to, you know, we'll sort of subsidize this, they'll do it. But obviously, they're looking towards an x86 future in their whole lineup. That's going to be their mainstream. So the jury's still out whether we'll ever see another Itanium from SGI, but, you know,
well,
it might happen.
Now we're just conjecturing, and I guess we're just going to have to wait and find out.
Yep. And we'll be watching this space for the rest of the year. It'll be an interesting year as these chips, you know, filter out into the market.
All right. Well, thanks for the discussion of it, Michael. You've obviously got it well covered. I enjoyed reading your articles.
Thanks a lot. And we'll be talking about it again, I'm sure.
Talk to you next week.
Next week it is.
You've been listening to HPC Wire Soundbite with Michael Feldman and Addison Snell. Got a question or comment for Michael or Addison? Email soundbite@hpcwire.com. HPC Wire Soundbite is available every Friday afternoon from iTunes or at hpcwire.com. HPC Wire, the leading source for global news and information covering the ecosystem of high productivity computing.